values our fathers and called it enlightenment. Search our hearts today, O God, and cleanse us from every stain. Amen. Pat Buchanan, in his book, The Death of the West, said in half a lifetime, many Americans have seen their God dethroned, their heroes defiled, their culture polluted, their values assaulted, their country invaded, and themselves demonized as bigots and extremists for holding on to beliefs that Americans have held for generations.
That's right.
My good friend, Brother Mike Pence, and he is a Christian brother, always wanted prayer every time we were together. I've had him speak in Baptist churches. I think he gave an invitation once. He said, truth becomes hate to those that hate the truth. I was just reading about the revival in the Hebrides that started maybe in the late 1940s, or maybe around 49 to 52. Duncan Campbell went there for 2 weeks, ended up staying for 2 years. There were two women there, Peggy and Christine Smith. Peggy, I believe, was 84 and blind. Christine was all humped over, and the spine condition had deteriorated to the point where she couldn't straighten up. She was 82. But they wanted God to do something special for their people off of the little tiny island called Lewis off of Scotland. They began to get a desire for revival. They couldn't even go to church, but they began to pray. And people began to come to their little house and meet together. And there was a young man there by the name of Donald Smith who got saved in that meeting. And Donald began to help the preacher. He'd lead in public prayers and help with the meetings and so on. And these two elderly women, the kind that Brother Clarence Sexton says that maybe a lot of churches wouldn't want, they got such a desire, preacher, for a revival. They begged God. They even asked the preacher, are you thoroughly right with God? And this happening began to spread. And revival fires broke out. And this Donald Smith got saved in that and was taking part in the meetings. And the revival fire spread, and there was a lady there by the name of Mary Ann Smith McLeod who immigrated to America in 1936. She met a man by the name of Fred. They were married in 1937. She was a cousin to Donald. And then in 1937, she had a boy. They called him Fred after his daddy. Secondly, she had a daughter that they called Mary Ann, who was named after her. They had a third child, Elizabeth. Then they had a fourth child that they called Donald, who was born in 1946. Mary Ann was given a Bible sent from the Hebrides, sent as a memorial for her to keep the flames going. That Bible today rests in the Oval Office of the 45th President, Donald Trump. We need a window for revival, that God would give us a space of a window, and that people might be able to see through it. God still can if we'll do our part. See, I came from another culture. If you'll let me digress just a little bit, we were poor. I don't know if we were quite as poor as what Brother Billy Kelly used to say he was or not. Brother Billy used to say that he was so poor that every year at Christmas time that his dad would go out and fire the shotgun, come in and tell all the kids that Santa Claus had committed suicide. He said they were so poor that his mother would make those big cat head biscuits and said they'd run outside and hold them in the air so the aroma of the neighbor's ham could flow through it. But we were poor people. I'm the son of old age. I don't have any full brothers or sisters. My half-brother died while I'm on this trip here. This funeral will be tomorrow. Died not knowing anybody. Dementia had captured, taken his mind, his recognition, etc. is gone. But I'm glad that we're going to a better land. Amen. Where minds will be clear and free. And we're the redeemed of all the ages. Shall gather together. There'll be no sickness, no death, no dying, no pain, no sorrow. Aren't you glad we can go to a land like that? But anyway, we were poor people. And I came up under a different culture. You see, when we were growing up, it was pretty primitive. It was more like Norman Rockwell, I guess, type living. I mean, grass was something we mowed. Coke was something we drank. AIDS were the people that worked in the principal's office. And coming out of the closet meant we'd been playing hide and go seek. But it was a different day and a different time. A lot of our people, they didn't have maybe much education. They'd say things, well, like, I sure am glad that it'll hope you some. But we knew what they were saying. They might not be erudite and scholarly. They might not be given to elocution, but they knew the king of the language. We can have enough degrees to look like a thermometer and still not know very much. You see, this attack upon our faith today is real. There's an attack upon the Christ of the Bible. Somebody said, who is the God of America? I'm so glad that you asked me that. He's the God man. 100% man, 100% God. Amen. He was man in the fact that he could eat, but he was God in the fact that he could feed 5,000. He was man in the fact that he could sleep, but God in the fact that he could come out of that sleep and rebuke the wind. I'm kind of feeling a little breeze myself. He was man in the fact that he would die, but he was God in the fact that he would rise victorious over death and the grave. See, America's been blessed for at least three reasons. We've done more for the poor, the downtrodden, than any other country in the world. When there is an emergency, a tsunami, an earthquake, flood, or devastation, we're usually the first on the scene. Secondly, we've sent missionaries around the globe with the glorious news of the gospel. That one died, was buried, is risen again, and that by faith in him and him alone, we can have life and have it more abundantly. And thirdly, we've been a friend to Israel. I'm glad that our president moved the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, aren't you? God said, I didn't choose you, talking about Israel, because you were the greatest in number. He said, you were the fewest in number, but I chose you because I loved you. They are the apple of his eye, and he's not through with them yet. Amen. See, this attack upon the Christ and the church, it's being promulgated among us that there's no difference in the religions. I was hearing for a long time that even in the Muslim religion, that it was a peaceful religion. But I didn't see anybody volunteering to go to Afghanistan and tell them that. See, we're having some real issues in all hurry. I just came out of California. So if I don't act right, I may have had a chemical imbalance or something. You can ask for a straw out there, but they can't offer you one. But they've got a great agenda. They've got the LGBTQ agenda, the legislators told us, and then socialism, and then abortion on demand. You see, if we can't say that a person is dead until the heart stops beating, why can't we say they're alive when it starts beating? We're not taking the voice from the mother. We're trying to give the voice to the child. We're not trying to execute the child for something he or she did not do. God help us. I believe it was in Jeremiah when he said, I knew you when your members were yet not even formed. Isn't it amazing that God, no wonder the founding father said that he gave us life. I got to wondering about that and I found out when I was up in New England that Benjamin Franklin was printing in his paper in the Gazette some of the sermons of men like George Whitefield, the British preacher. And those ideas from the Black Robe Brigade infiltrated the thinking of those writers. The Bible was a tremendous influence. I believe it was Benjamin Rush who became the head of the American Medical Association. He said this, a person will either be governed by the Bible or they shall be ruled by the bayonet. Andrew Jackson said the Bible is the foundation upon which this republic rests. Theodore Roosevelt said to educate a man in mind and not in morals is to educate a menace to society. G.K. Chesterton said men will either be governed by the Ten Commandments or they shall be ruled by the 10,000 commandments. It'll get to the point they'll know how many French fries you're eating. They ought to be telling me now. I got up on a scale the other day and it gives you a printout. When I stepped up there, it said one at a time, please. I'm kind of reminded, you know, this fella that said that he'd gone to the doctor. The doctor told him, said, I'll have you walking within 30 days. He said he was right. He said, I had to sell my car to pay for the bill. The doctor told him, he said, I want you to know something, young man. He said, that $50 check you gave me came back. He said, so did the arthritis. See, there's an attack upon the Christ and the church that he gave his life for. There's an attack upon the home.
That's right.
A man who takes no interest in the child in the playpen had better get ready to visit him in the state pen. One of the greatest and most horrific forms of child abuse is denying your children a godly heritage. Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free, it expects what never was and never will be. A little boy was sitting on the front row at the school. The teacher said, Johnny, said, could you tell me the difference between ignorance and apathy? He said, teacher, I don't know and I don't care. One boy came home and told his dad that the math teacher had given him an F in that subject matter. Boy, the parent, like most parents are today, they ran right over there irate. He asked the teacher, said, I want to know, why did you give my son a failing grade in the subject of math? She looked at that parent and she said, sir, I gave your son a grade of F because by law, that's the lowest grade I can assign him. See, all of these things that we think about today, like the pledge, one nation under God, you know where that under God came from? Dwight Eisenhower in 1954 went to a Presbyterian church. That Presbyterian minister had read, no doubt, Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. He went on to say, and that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. Eisenhower called Charlie Halleck out of Indiana, Everett Dirksen out of Illinois, and said, boys, let's add under God to that pledge. And within 6 months, it was done. Of course, that was before the ACLU. You know who the ACLU are? The American Criminal Lawyers Union. See, we're debating things like today that we just took for granted. When I was growing up, you know, we weren't very smart where we lived. I mean, down in our neck of the woods, it'd take you an hour and a half to watch 60 Minutes. We didn't know all about, you know, dangling. My mother, bless her heart, honestly, Mom, I loved her. Such a sweet person. She was almost 43 when I was born. See, she didn't know a subject from a verb. She didn't know anything about paragraph construction. She didn't know about subject-verb syntax. She didn't know what a lexicographer was. She didn't know what a dangling participle was, and I know that you do. I can tell that I'm among academia. But the point was, she said when she got saved, the greatest teacher in the universe went home with her that day. I like it, don't you? Boy, she could make cornbread, though, and the old cast iron skillet, soup beans. I'm about to be blessed. But we were brought up with certain thoughts in mind. We believed in the dignity of human life. Amen. My mother's people, I never drank anything in my life. I hate it. I never drank anything. I'm glad for it. I still needed a Savior. It wasn't because that I sinned. I sinned because I was a sinner. Yeah. But not my mother's people didn't put all their corn in the crib, if you know what I mean. But they couldn't get drunk enough to believe in evolution. They couldn't. They didn't believe that a one-celled amoeba through a mutative process and a random selection ended up with a Homo sapien. And now we got aberrations of that. A man that used to be the poster child for Wheaties, the breakfast of champions, can now be on Fruit Loops. And here we're debating things like gender. We don't want a wall on the border, and we want to tear those down to the bathroom. Sad. But we believed also in things like work. I know that's, my cousin said he went looking for a job one time. They told him that they were hiring, and he said, well, thanks for the warning. And success only comes before work in the dictionary. We were supposed to be productive and contributing. But here our people have gotten where now they think the government ought to be in control of everything. Ronald Reagan said there's nothing as permanent as a temporary government program. You can put the federal government in charge of the Sahara Desert. Within a couple of weeks, there'll be a shortage of sand. You know, you wonder where these people come up with all this stuff. Global warming, we about froze to death up in Indiana. I mean, it was so bad up there in the wintertime, dogs were helping the cats across the road. I've got a cousin that's a funeral director, and I'll be through here in just a moment. And I don't like funeral homes. I never did. I wouldn't stay in one by myself, not for $1,000. I'm not staying there. I'm just not. Can you imagine going in one of those creepy places, it raining on a cold fall evening, going in there? I wouldn't sleep a week. I'd have to take a whole bottle of Xanax or something. But I called my cousin one day, and I said, Doug, what's going on there? He calls me Doc. He said, oh, Doc. He said, it's bad up here. It's cold, way below zero. Said, there's enough snow. They've closed Highway 3 in Newcastle. I said, what are you going to do? I was suffering for the Lord down in Florida. He said, well, he said, I think what I'll do, I'll just get me a pillow. And there's a little blanket. Got the fireplace here at the home. And he said, I'll just sleep on the sofa. I said, is anybody with you? He said, yes, but they're not talking. I said, Doug, I don't care how deep that snow is. I'd be on the phone right now to the emergency personnel. I'd call for the ships at sea. I'd send messages to the consulates and the embassies and tell them, send a helicopter or somebody come through with a rope or something. I'm out of here. I'm not staying here with anybody that's not talking tonight. But friends, that's only to say this, the deadness that's overtaking America, the deadness, we're getting used to it. We've gotten used to the dark. Remember that darkness that came in Egypt that was so thick, the people could feel it. Unless you and I stand up and be counted, oh my, I don't want to think about it. I've got 5 grandchildren, 3 great-grandchildren. They think I'm a good grandpa. I am. I'm not a disciplinarian with them. I know I probably violate some principles somewhere. But it's so bad they won't leave the kids with me. My daughter's very picky, or was, about what they ate. And she and her mother, Shirley, likes to go to Goodwill. And so they took off one day, and I said, kids, they're gone. I said, there's pop in the refrigerator. There's some candy and cookies. I think some ice cream. When they came back, the kids were coming off the wall with a faraway glaze look in their eyes. And Angie looked at me, and all she said was, Dad, you didn't. I said, I did. Now they get hitchhikers to sit with them. Somebody driving through on a motorcycle, they'll say, hey, would you sit with the kids? We can't trust Dad. But my friends today, the attack that's upon the family, I must hurry, I'm through. My dad had an old-fashioned belief. Please don't take it wrong. But my dad thought folks ought to get married and then live together. Old-fashioned. He believed in that. An attack upon our freedoms. Thomas Jefferson said you only need the Second Amendment until somebody tries to take it away. See, these are all intertwined. Unless there is a new birth of thinking, when those colonials said, so help us God, that we pledge to each other our lives, our fortune, and our sacred honors. Oh my, this is no time for child play. This is a time to take our responsibility. Let's be good parents. Let's be good grandparents. Let's be good faithful members of a church. Let's read our Bibles. And who knows, somewhere in this congregation, there may be a Peggy or a Christine Smith that will beg God for a revival. And we might see something happen like happened there in the Hebrides. You say, is it possible? I believe it is.
Amen.
If somebody somewhere can just catch the vision, it doesn't have to be a preacher. It doesn't have to be somebody that's been to wherever. Just somebody that would be willing to say, oh God, would you send revival our way one more time? Would you help our nation? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do, Pastor?